Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation, and I'm coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina, and we are so excited for another episode, another opportunity, and another chance to share some good news, some encouraging words, some uplifting words, and a chance to empower all of our listeners, no matter where you are listening. And we just want to take this time and say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for just taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to another episode. Again, I'm your host, Arthenius Jackson, and this is episode 1133 with Purpose Kingdom Network. So I told you that I'm with One Touch Transformation, and I just want to give you a little bit background in case this is your first time hearing about One Touch Transformation. But it is my ministry, my nonprofit organization that began January 2014 in order to give hope on, to provide hope for survivors of sexual abuse. So the organization's mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while empowering and encouraging all victims and survivors. And so I started this organization right off of my very own story of being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And I felt like it was, you know, felt like it was my duty, I would say, my duty, my purpose, and a mission that God placed inside of me to share my story, but in hopes of letting others know that they can overcome no matter how long ago it was, and no matter how painful and traumatic you think it may have been. But I share my story in order to help others know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that you can make it, that you're not alone, that if God can bring me through, he can do the same thing for you. Because believe me, I know it is difficult to share your story. It's difficult to take that first step. But I always encourage all victims and survivors to, you know, tell somebody. You may not have to share it with a huge platform with the whole world. You don't have to do that. But if you just tell someone, confide in someone, whether it's a best friend, whether it's a counselor, someone who's mentoring you, if you need to find a therapist, that is okay. As a believer, it is okay to seek counseling and therapy because it helps. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you crazy, but no, it just means that you want to better yourself. You want to find the strength or regain the strength that lies within you. You want to find your voice and your power because it's inside of you, but it starts with you making that first step, and that's, you know, speaking up, telling someone. And so I've been through so much when it comes to dealing with the past of childhood sexual abuse. I've had quite a journey. And I'm still on my journey. Even though I spoke up, you know, years ago, well, not too many years ago, I was silent for 20 years, but it's been about 7 years now since I've shared my story for the first time. But I can say that it has been a growing experience, a learning experience. It's been a fun experience, not all the time, but just being able to share my story with and having true freedom, that's the fun part about it, and that it's so liberating. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's liberating when you're able to share your story because it just lets the world know that what you've been through, it did not defeat you. It did not keep you down. It did not destroy you. It does not dictate where you are destined to be or who you are destined to be, because God has greater things in store for you. God has called you to do great things, and all of it is tied up in your story, believe it or not. And sometimes we just have to look at it that way. Even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it hurts, it's painful, it doesn't feel good, during those, you know, those moments when you're down. But whenever you begin to look at the overall picture, when you look at what God wants you to do and how your story can help someone and help so many people to, you know, show his glory, what he is capable of doing, what he is able to turn around, the things that are meant to break us, the things that are meant to keep us down, the things that are meant for evil, God can turn all of that and work it out for our good and for his glory. So everything that we go through, everything that you've endured up to this point, believe it or not, it has been for God's glory. And that's how I've basically been looking at my story over the past, you know, 7 years since I've been sharing it and talking about the importance of having the conversation of sexual abuse. But I can go on and on. But again, let's go ahead and get started with our topic for tonight. So again, thank you. Thank you for joining in with One Touch Transformation. So tonight, I want to talk about why it is so important to pray, of course. I mean, it's always important to pray. It's one of the greatest tools that we can use. A lot of times it may be the last tool or our last resort instead of being our first, and, you know, I'm guilty of it. But sometimes it's not the first tool that we use, even though we know that it's so powerful. It can do things that we can't do. It can go where we can't go. It solves a lot of problems that we don't understand. And, you know, prayer is a powerful tool. It's a powerful thing. So, number one, it's important to pray. But not just pray. We want to make sure that we are praying, I guess, strategically, I would say. Because it's one thing just to call out words, but then it's another thing to pray strategically, knowing what you're praying for or to know how to pray. Because there's some people who don't know how to pray. And, you know, it comes with relationship. It comes with how you spend your time with God, basically, when I'm saying relationship. But everyone has their own strategies when it comes to praying. But we know that prayer is a powerful tool, and it shouldn't be the last resort. It should always be our first resort, because he tells us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And so it's important to pray. But it's also important to pray for people who surround us, the people that we interact with, those who we have encounters with. It's important to pray for them because we never know who we are encountering, what they are going through. And it can be people that you know and people that you don't know. But more specifically, I do want to focus on two types of people to pray for tonight. And because I'm so passionate about what I do when it comes to sexual abuse, I want to focus on praying on both victims and survivors, both victims and survivors. And, of course, it goes without saying why I chose these two types of or these two groups, because, number one, I was both, or I was a victim, and, you know, now I am a survivor. And even after being a survivor, you still, or we still, need those prayers, because even after you, I guess, have proclaimed that you're no longer a victim but you are a survivor, there are still some dark days, there are still some hard times, there are still some moments that creep, or we call them, you know, triggers. There are some things that still occur even after being on the survivor journey. And so victims and survivors, they need your prayers. They need your prayers. And so I want to start off by saying that there are so many people that we know or don't know that are surrounded around us. So we encounter people that we know and people that we don't know probably every day. I mean, at work, at school, in the grocery stores, at the mall, different stores, just everywhere. We encounter so many people on a daily basis. And a lot of times we run into people that we know and people that we don't know. So, like I said, these include our coworkers, our next-door neighbors, classmates, the people we attend church with, all kind of social events. So we run into people all the time. But most of the time, we are not aware of everything that's going on in people's lives. And I like the quote that says, "Be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a battle." So this quote is fitting for those you know and those you don't know. Because we meet new people, and then at the same time, we meet up with people we know. And so many times when we're meeting these people, whether we know them or not, sometimes he or she is battling something. I mean, because just because you know them won't always know that they're battling something or dealing with some kind of battle. So that's why I say the quote is fitting for the people that you meet that are new or the people that you just constantly meet up with. So some people we encounter, they may never share their battle. Some will, but many will not. And a lot of times that all depends on your relationship with them. And even then, you still won't know every battle, what the next person is facing. And so that's why I like and agree with the quote. It says, just be kind. Because I feel like if we knew what the next person was battling with, we'd think twice about some of the things we say, the things we do to others, and how we treat them. And because everyone is human, each of us are human, which means that we all deal with emotions. We all deal with, we have feelings. So everything is not always easy. Every day isn't always easy. Like I said, we're all human. So that's why I like the quote says, just be kind, because everyone, you know, they're facing a battle. They're fighting a battle. You just don't know what that person dealt with before you saw them. Even when you arrive to work, you never know what that person had just gone through at home or anything, wherever they're coming from. You just never know. So that's why it's so important to be kind and still focusing on victims and survivors. If you've never experienced it or gone through, you know, the traumatic experience of sexual abuse or any kind of sexual violence, then you have no idea the type of battles that victims and survivors face. Some on a daily basis and some every week. It just varies. It varies. So that's why it's so important to keep these two groups in mind and keep them in prayer, because the smallest thing, it may be the smallest thing to you, but it can be a huge deal to that victim or to the survivor. The smallest thing, the thing that you may say, oh, that little thing or that, it may mean, yes, that. So just be kind. So the scripture I want to use in reference to this is Matthew 7:12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And a lot of people may call this, you know, the golden rule. But however you would want to be treated, treat others that same way. In the Message version, it says, here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Simple rule of thumb. It's just that simple. However you want to be treated, just you take the initiative and do that. So if you know that you need prayer, then take the initiative and pray for the person that you're meeting. Even though you may not know what he or she is battling, take the initiative. You may not know who in your office, who in your classroom, or who in your congregation. You may not know which member or who is a victim or who is even a survivor, but just take the initiative and pray for both groups. And necessarily saying, ask, you know, not, I'm not telling you to do that. Please don't. Please don't. That's one of the worst things you can do. Don't just go around asking, you know, doing general questions or taking general polls of who's a victim or who's a survivor. But no, just make it a part of your prayer life to just have a special time when you do pray for victims and survivors. They really need it. I'm going to say we need it. like I said, I once was a victim, but I'm not a survivor. But I'm telling you, I'm just being honest. I still need your prayers. Even though it has been 7 years, I still need your prayers. I still need it. All right, so as I said, Matthew 7 and 12 is, you know, the golden rule. We were even taught that even as children. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Or treat others the way you want to be treated. I used to be part of the Girl Scout law. I will treat others the way I want to be treated. So these things, they've been tied into so many things even as a child. But this simple rule is found right in Matthew. So out of all the people you meet on a daily basis, how many of them are victims or survivors of sexual abuse? I know you don't know the answer, but I want you to think about that question. Out of all of the people you meet on a daily basis, how many of them are victims or survivors of sexual abuse? Think about it. I mean, because it's not like they wear a sign, at least, you know, not a visible sign. And sometimes there are just no way of knowing that someone is a victim or a survivor. There's just no way. If they don't physically or verbally tell you, then you will never know. I mean, no one did not know that I was a victim. No one did not know that I had survived all of that until I opened up my mouth and said something. And so just think about the way you treat others. Think about the words that you say. Like, you never know if you are offending someone, especially when it comes to victim blaming. When we hear all of these cases coming across the TV, just think about the things that you say. Oh, why did they wait so long to say something? I mean, you just really have to be mindful of your actions, mindful of your words, because you do not know how many people that you encounter every day or which ones that you encounter are actually victims or survivors of sexual abuse. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for everyone. So he is encouraging us to pray for others, not just for ourselves. Of course, we're going to pray for ourselves every day, every night, whenever you do your prayer sessions. Of course, we're always praying for ourselves, but it's important to pray for others. It is important to pray for others. We need people to pray for us. And so the scripture is letting us know a couple of things. We need prayer from others, and others need our prayers as well. So still focusing on our victims and our survivors, they need our prayers. They need them. Because at some point in our life, there will come a time when it feels like we aren't able to send up a prayer for ourselves, no matter what the situation may be. The same goes for everyone else. There are people now who need your prayers because they have reached a point where they feel like God doesn't hear them, or they are spiritually weak and cannot send up a prayer. Think about these victims. Think about these survivors whenever they're having these bad moments, when they're having these dark days, when they feel like they've reached a point where, look, I can't do it today. I am angry. I am upset. I am having a moment, and I just cannot get a prayer through. I am spiritually weak right now, so I need someone to intercede on my behalf. And so these type of situations are going to come up. And mind you, we are in no position to judge anyone's situation. So a situation that may seem like nothing to us, it can be detrimental to someone else or the next person. So we are in no position to judge anyone's situation or judge how small it may be, because it can be detrimental. So we are in no position to judge anyone's situation, but we are in position to pray. That is our job. That is our duty. So we may not understand everything that victims and survivors go through, And it's okay. We don't have to understand it, but we can pray. We don't know who all falls into the category of victims and survivors in our, you know, in our circle, in our church, on our job, in our classroom, at these social events, the people that we, you know of. I'm not even going to say you know, but you may know of. You may not know what they're going through, the battle that they're facing. You may not know if they're a victim or a survivor, but there is someone where you interact who is a victim or a survivor, and they need your prayers. They need our prayers. We need your prayers. And so that's why in Timothy he tells us, prayer can be made for all men, supplications, prayer, and intercessions, made for all men, for everyone. So it's okay to be selfish, you know, when it comes to praying for yourself, but sometimes just be a little selfless and offer some prayer and supplication and intercede for the next person. Let's intercede for every victim and every survivor. So, again, I ask, out of all the people you meet on a daily basis, how many of them are victims of survivors? Survivors of sexual abuse. How many of them? It's just something to really think about, because so many people, especially when it comes to being a victim or a survivor of sexual abuse, they wear masks. They mask it very well. And there are reasons why it is masked. But it is masked very well. So with some people, you will never know. Never. I'm telling you, it's just, it's an experience like no other. And it causes you to not want to share it because of the stigma that comes along with it, depending on who you are, your gender, your background. There's so much that plays a part into sharing your story and speaking up or saying anything about it. So that's why it's such a difficult decision to actually speak up and say, hey, it happened to me, which is why we need your prayers. Well, for starters, you know, just still dwelling on that question, out of all the people you meet on a daily basis, how many of them are victims or survivors of sexual abuse? For starters, stats tells us that every 73 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. Every 73 seconds. That's less than 2 minutes. Every 73 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. And every 9 minutes, that victim is a child. Every 9 minutes. Just imagine, well, I don't even want to imagine, but just think about it, that number, every 9 minutes. So this, a child for every 10 minutes, 10 minute goes by, it's another child. Another child becomes a victim. On average, 433,648 victims, 12 and older, of rape and sexual assault each year found in the United States. And that's on average. And mind you, these are only numbers that are reported. That's the scary part about it. So on average, there are 433,648 victims, 12 and older, who are victims of rape and sexual assault each year in the United States. And ages 18 through 34 are the highest risk years for rape and sexual assault. And that's the category I fall in. So those are the millennials. And, you know, I think about there are so many people in that age group. And that's why it's the highest risk, the highest risk years. I think it was 54% ages 18 to 34. So that's, I'm like, everybody that you encounter, you never know. Never know what has occurred either in their life as a child or even as an adult right now. I mean, you are working with people who fall in this age range. You have members at your church who fall in this age range. The social events that you attend, people that are in this age group. And so just hearing just a few of these stats, just hearing just these few, it lets us know that we have, you know, we just have to pray for these people. It makes us aware that many people have and will experience some form of sexual assault during his or her lifetime. Not many will speak up or share their experience, and that's okay. That person that works next to you may be a survivor, and you may never know. I mean, you speak to them every day. You may see them smiling. They may come in all bubbly and joyful, and you'll never know that he or she is a survivor. The guy sitting behind you at church, he may be battling with the pain of childhood trauma, and you will never know. You'll never know these things because, like I said, you learn to mask it so well. You mask it for so long that it just becomes a part of you. It becomes easy. So most people, you know, who have not gone through the experience, who are unaware of what sexual abuse is, this or sexual violence, what comes along with it. Most people, if you have not experienced it or had a family member or close family member to experience it, then you're not aware of the long-term effects of childhood sexual abuse or any type of sexual violence. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And once you begin to learn of the effects, it makes you want to pray for victims and survivors even more, just knowing or hearing what they have to deal with, what they have to go through, the things that they endure after the fact. I've always said that going through the abuse was the easy part, but it's the after effect. It was hard. Challenging. It really is. And some people or some victims and survivors, some may experience one or he may experience more. I would like to say it's probably more. I mean, but that's just my personal experience and personal take on it. But these are reasons why we need your prayers. And like I said, I can say we because I've been on both sides. But these are reasons why we need your prayers. But some of the long-term effects, and some of you may be aware of them and some of you may not, but one is high levels of depression. There's one thing to be depressed about something, but there's another thing when you fall into another level of depression, where it's more intense, like major depression, because you have the minor depression and you have major depression. But when you have high levels of depression, we're talking about this major depression when you are constantly, you know, just sad, like past sad. And I'm not talking about just sad, you lost your friend or your dog, but just past sad when you're not able to do anything. But you're just in darkness, mentally, emotionally. just depressed, not able to do the things that you once loved to do. Everything that used to be exciting in your life, it no longer excites you anymore. And then beginning to deal with suicidal thoughts. When you're feeling like you would be better off if you were no longer here, when you just don't want anyone around you, you don't want to be around anyone because you just feel like you are better off alone. So you have victims and survivors that are dealing with high levels of depression. Another long-term effect, guilt. So many times, victims and survivors, they feel guilty about what happened. Because believe it or not, they feel like it was something they did or something they didn't do. And so they experience this guilt, and let's go ahead and throw in shame and self-blame. And sometimes, and I've done it myself, sometimes you take personal responsibility for the abuse. Because I didn't speak up, or because I didn't say no, or because I didn't say stop, I am constantly experiencing this guilt, this shame, and this self-blame, blaming myself for allowing it to continue, or blaming myself because I didn't speak up, or feeling guilty because I didn't say anything, feeling shame because it was my uncle. And so a lot of times when we take on this personal responsibility, then it makes it even harder to not just deal with, but to even talk about. Because I feel guilty, or I'm too ashamed of what happened to me. I feel disgusted because it was my uncle. It was a family member. Like, how could I allow that to happen? How can I let this happen? Why didn't I say anything? Why didn't I say stop? Why didn't I say no? Why didn't I scream? Why didn't I try to run away? So you have survivors who often blame themselves, and then they begin to internalize these negative messages about themselves, and that leads to self-destructive behaviors and, again, suicide thoughts. Body issues, eating disorders are other long-term effects. Sometimes you begin to question your body image. Why do I look like this? Well, maybe if I looked a certain way, he wouldn't have bothered me. Or maybe if I put on some more weight, then no one would bother me. So sometimes they begin overeating just so they won't look, quote unquote, so attractive. And so if it's not overeating, then it's not eating. And so you have all of these eating disorders, and sometimes it turns into obesity. So you're dealing with body images and eating disorders, losing your identity, not sure of who you are, who you're supposed to be because of what happened. Like, wondering, did this change who I am? Or did this change who I'm supposed to be? Other effects. Stress and anxiety. Oh my goodness. And, you know, we already, as adults or as people, as humans, we already deal with stress and a little bit of anxiety. But the stress and anxieties that comes with survivors and, you know, with victims and survivors, sometimes they're always on the edge, always in panic mode because just feeling anxious all the time, not knowing if and when another attack will take place. That's the scary part about it, just always living on edge, always being afraid, always panicking, always so anxious, always having this anxiety, these high anxiety levels, having anxiety attacks, having panic attacks, and thinking that someone is behind you or someone is following you or someone is watching you. Again, these are long-term effects. Dissociative patterns, simply just dissociating yourself from everything, everyone. Things that you, like I said, used to do, it no longer excites you. So you feel the need to dissociate yourself from, you know, whether it's family or your closest friends. And a lot of times, you know, supporters or family members and friends, they may not understand what's going on. Like, what did I, they may be questioning, like, what did I do And if victims and survivors have not gotten to the point where they can explain what's going on or tell them why they feel the need to just dissociate themselves, then it's going to cause effects with, of course, relationships. And not just relationships when it comes to dating, but relationships with family members, relationship with friends. So a lot of times they dissociate themselves. It feels like we're protecting ourselves. Because as long as I dissociate myself, then I won't have to worry about getting hurt. As long as I don't get attached to anyone, as long as I don't let anyone in, then I don't have to worry about getting hurt. I don't have to worry about anyone hurting me, because the moment I let my guard down, or the moment I open up, the moment that I allow anyone else to come into my, I guess, safe space or in my circle, I feel like I'll be hurt. I feel like someone will take advantage of me. These are the thoughts that are going through the head of victims and survivors. And so we feel like in order to cope or in order to survive, we have to dissociate ourselves. We cannot let anyone get but so close. Our boundaries, they are, you know, very small. Very small window or a very small circle. We're not letting, no. You can only come but this far, because if I let you come too close, then I might risk getting hurt. But not only do we dissociate ourselves, but it also causes us to have feelings of confusions, nightmares, flashbacks, difficulty experiences, feelings. And so as you begin to dissociate yourself, then all these other things begin to happen. It's in our mind, we're triggered, these flashbacks. So that's, you know, that's one reason why we do dissociate ourselves. It's like, okay, I'm not going to let you in, because, like I said, the moment I allow someone to get close, then something's going to be triggered. And I'm going to be reminded, I'm going to have these flashbacks. And then we have denial. You have some who would just deny that it happened. They can't accept it, so I'm going to deny it. Don't want to talk about it because I can't accept it, I'm going to deny it. It did not happen. It did not happen, so that's that. And another one is, you know, sexual problems. And there, you know, the list, it can go on, and a lot of people are just so unaware of these long-term effects from, you know, sexual abuse and sexual violence. The trauma is real. The effects, they are real. And you never know, again, who these people are that you encounter, like what they had just been dealing with. You never know if the person that's working next to you was just triggered this morning or had a nightmare last night that her attacker or her rapist has found her, or she had a nightmare. You just never know. And so that's why I said it's so important to pray for victims and survivors, because people are not always going to understand the life or the mindset of a victim or a survivor. But that's what the tool is for, the prayer tool. It does things that we can't do, understand things in ways that we don't, which is why God has, you know, given us that tool, and why in Timothy tells us to pray for others. Pray for them when you don't understand what they're going through. Pray for them when you don't understand the whole experience, when you've never experienced it or been through that trauma, pray for them. I mean, even if you do know someone who has been victimized or someone who was a survivor, pray for them, because I guarantee they need it. I've shared tonight that I still need those prayers. And even some of the long-term effects that I've gone over, you know, it was just a few of them. As a survivor, I still deal with it, just being transparent. I still deal with it. I mean, there are times when my mind wanders, of course, from
And I have some of those thoughts in my head where I blame myself. It's just for a moment. I mean, I know who my God is, and, you know, but I'm still human. I'm still human. But there are moments when I question myself and I ask, why did it take me so long to say something? Or why didn't I scream? Or why didn't I fight back? Or why didn't I try to run away? You know, I ask myself those questions from time to time. But I understand that I was only six. I was only six. And that's what, I guess, kind of brings me back to myself saying, look, it still wasn't your fault. You were 6 years old. You were a little girl. Did not understand what was going on. And it's not your fault that you didn't yell. It's not your fault that you didn't say stop. And it's not your fault that you didn't try to run. Because he was bigger than you. He was stronger than you. And he was an adult that made a decision for you. And I say that to all the survivors tonight who experienced that as a child. But he may have been stronger than you, or he may have been stronger than me. He may have been bigger than me, and he may have made a decision for me. But now, he's no longer stronger than me. My God is bigger than him. And although he made that decision, it was his decision, not mine. And that makes me feel okay. Makes me feel okay. Doesn't erase the past. Can't rewind it. Can't have any do-overs. Doesn't change the past. But it does empower me. It encourages me to know that I am stronger, that I am, you know, serving a God who is way bigger than anything or anyone. And I have made the decision to move forward, to heal, and to become what God has destined me to become. So again, I solicit your prayers. And not just for me, but for every victim out there and every survivor out there. We solicit your prayers. And now we're going to take a moment, and I ask that you join in with me. I pray for every victim and every survivor, those who we may know and those who we may not know, those who feel like they're just hanging on by a thread because no one knows that deep, dark secret. No one knows the pain that they have endured as a child. Or maybe someone who has recently been a victim of sexual violence. So I ask that you join in prayer as we pray for all victims and survivors of sexual abuse. Father, we thank you, and we bless your name. We thank you for just who you are and everything that you continue to do for us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of our transgressions. And for our healing and for our deliverance. Thank you for your blood that still works even today. And Father, we thank you for this moment and this opportunity to even talk to you and to lift up all of our victims and survivors, those who we may know and those who we may not know. those who we encounter on our jobs, in the classrooms, at every social event, and most of all, those who are in our congregations. God, we pray that you will send your angels, that you will stretch out your loving arms and comfort them and strengthen them even in this moment. God, we pray that you give them guidance and that you give them the courage to share their story with someone, to seek help so that they can start their journey of healing. God, I know that there is nothing too hard for you. And God, I know that if you can do it for me, that you can do it for the next person. God, I thank you for the strength that you do provide. Because when we're weak, that's when you're strong. When we feel like we're not able to go on, when we're not able to make it, you tell us to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And Lord, we're believing that our help is on the way. That even right now, you're sending help. And God, I pray for those who may have given up on you, who may have thrown in the towel and just felt like that you don't love them. But God, I pray that you wrap your loving arms around them and that they return back to you. God, let them know, help them to know that you will never leave them, neither forsake them, that you have never left, you have never forsaken them. So God, help them to welcome you back into their hearts and into their minds and transform them, creating them a clean heart and a right spirit. Well, God, we ask that you forgive us of everything that we may have said or done, any evil thought that may come upon us. God, we ask that you blot it out so that it may not come upon us in the day of judgment. God, we thank you and we love you so much. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for everything that you do and everything that you're doing right now. We thank you in advance and we praise you in advance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, if there are any announcements, we're going to have our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network.
Yes, real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcement. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. Whether you join us online or via phone, we thank you so much for your support, and we appreciate your listenership. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. Anytime you want to hear any one of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, we invite you to like us on our Facebook page, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements, and you can follow on any of our social media pages the links where you can hear each and every morning our morning walk with prayer on Anchor.com or Anchor FM. If you have trouble getting on Anchor FM or Anchor.com, you can just type in Purpose Kingdom. If not, just follow any of the links on our social media pages. We thank you so much. With God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Warriors of Christ, hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Warriors of Christ, hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. And with that being said, this is going to be the end of our announcements, and we're going to hand the show back over to Minister Jackson. And Minister Jackson, great show. Really appreciate the word you're giving out tonight, and the show's back over your hands.
All right. Appreciate it, Brother Rob. All right, so before I close out, I do want to give a couple of resources that are helpful for those of you who may be listening in. You know, maybe you may need these resources, or maybe you can pass it along to someone who can use the resources. And so one of them is the National Sexual Assault Hotline, and that number is 1-800-656-4673. Again, that number is 1-800-656-4673. And that hotline is available 24 hours every day. And if you are more so on the online chat side, if you don't want to talk, there is a link available for online chat. Matter of fact, if you just Google rape hotline, or National Sexual Assault Hotline, it gives you the option to do online chat. For our male survivors, there is an organization called 1 in 6, and they have resources on that website available for male survivors. And that organization's website is the number 1in6.org. So that's 1in6.org, and that's for male survivors. So like I said, these are great resources that can be passed along, or maybe you need them for yourself, but do utilize the resources that are available. One of the largest organizations for sexual abuse awareness and prevention, is called RAIN, which is an acronym for Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, RAINN.org. It's a great website with a lot of resources, a lot of statistics. I mean, it breaks down everything that you need to know about sexual abuse, even on the politics side when it comes to the prison, everything. It has a lot of useful information. As a matter of fact, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month next month, so there are going to be several things going on, probably in your area. So I'm pretty sure if you just look up, you can just Google it. There are going to be some things going on in your communities nearby or in your area. So that's one way that you can show your support. And I know RAIN.org, it has a lot of useful information. There are things that you can use if you want to either, you know, put on an event for yourself. It gives a toolkit that you can use. They have Rain Day where you have, you know, just, it doesn't have to be anything large or extravagant, but just something small where you're spreading awareness. And also at the same time, you're showing your support and letting victims and survivors know that you do care. So for more information about One Touch Transformation, you can visit our website at onett.me. That's onett.me, or you can find us on Facebook under One Touch Transformation. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at _onett. Please be sure to follow us, and that way you can stay updated and know what we're doing in our communities here in South Carolina. And we're not just limited to South Carolina. We're always wanting to, you know, collaborate with other organizations who are all about the same cause, whether it's just through online projects or however we can make it work. I mean, because we just want to continue to spread the awareness and, you know, make a difference wherever we can, however we can. So, again, that website is onett.me. And like I said, we're on Facebook as well, One Touch Transformation. Our other programs include our Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program, which we're closing out at the end of this month. We'll complete our 12 sessions where we have met with girls in 3 different locations here in our community, in the PD area, what we call in Hartsville, Darlington, and Florence. We've been meeting with these girls we're in our 7th week or 8th week, I think. Yeah, 8th week. So the Butterfly Effect, it is a mentoring program for young girls ages 6 to 15, and we meet with these girls for 12 weeks, and we're there to empower them, to educate them, you know, on sexual abuse, but we're also talking about how they are valuable, how they are beautiful and perfect and powerful, just the way that they are. And so meeting with these girls for 12 weeks is empowering, not just for them, but also for the mentors. But we take these young ladies and teaching them about different things in life, how to carry themselves. We've also talked about even resumes. We had them do a mock resume, how they have to know what it means to list your skills and your talents and how that plays a part into the type of job that you're going after. But overall, we're teaching them to do their best, be their best, and be who God created them to be, and not to change for anyone. And like I said, we are highlighting, you know, good touch and bad touch, talking about consent and boundaries. So that's another part of our program that's been, you know, very successful. It's been growing, and I praise God for God, you know, just giving me the vision to do these things. And, you know, my desire is to save every child that I can, to provide them with the things that we needed when we were younger, because we didn't have a program like this teaching us about good touch and bad touch and talking to us about boundaries and consent. I had no idea what boundaries and consent were when I was 6. Had I had something like this
then there's a possibility I would have spoken up earlier. But like I said, we can't change the past. But what we can do is be there or be who we needed when we were that age. And so, again, that's called the Butterfly Effect Program. And so we're always taking donations. We are 501c3. We are a nonprofit, tax deductible. So any time that you are feeling generous and would like to send a donation, you can go to our website, onett.me, and there is a donate button. And it's, you know, through the PayPal, so under One Touch Transformation. So be sure to check out our website. Check us out on Facebook. And so at this time, I would like to take a moment to thank all of our online listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining in with this segment of Purpose Kingdom Network with One Touch Transformation. I appreciate just tuning in and allowing me to be transparent, allowing me to be honest and to share my experience and to share my story. Because I, even though it was a sad event or traumatic event, I've learned how to turn that negative moment into, a positive ministry. And I enjoy every bit of it. And I don't take my journey for granted and just excited about where God will continue to take me. And it's all for His glory. I mean, I give Him all of the credit for allowing me to get this far, being able to be bold about it and courageous and unafraid and just speak up so that I can help someone else. And I hope that I've helped someone tonight. So thank you to all of our online listeners. Thank you for all of you who called in to listen. I appreciate it because it's not easy. It's not easy, but I still enjoy doing it. And there are times when I still get a little nervous, believe it or not. It may not sound like I'm nervous, but I still get nervous. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So, again, thank you so much. For more information about me, you can visit my website at arthenius.com. That's arthenius.com. And I am on Facebook and Instagram. Just follow me at arthenius. And Arthenius J on Instagram. So I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the night and a wonderful rest of the week. And just remember, you never know who you are encountering. So be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is facing a battle. Everyone is facing a battle. So just be kind. You just never know. We are in no position to judge anyone's situation, but we are definitely in position to pray. So keep that in mind. So I love you. God loves you even more. He loves you even more. So God bless you. And until next time, I am Arthenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation. Good night.
Jesus led. He raised me. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.